From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau's glacial outburst floods, also known as Yokolopes, have happened every year since 2011, but this year was the worst by far. The Mendenhall River swelled on Saturday evening. It eroded large sections of the riverbank, undermining some homes and sending at least one into the river. City officials issued a local emergency on Sunday morning, but it's not yet clear how many residents have been displaced. KTOO's Anna Canny has the story.
John and Christine Lovering stand on the bank of Mendenhall River. It's a dry, sunny Saturday, but the water below is raging.
It's about 2.5 times wider than it's ever been that I've seen. It's absolutely still at flood stage right now.
The river's west bank is torn up and steep. And on the east bank, where the Loverings are standing, one corner of their 6-unit condominium building hangs precariously over a steep drop-off. The neighboring building is even worse, dangling in midair. Its foundation was swept away. Lovering points to a second-story balcony. It's full of brightly colored potted flowers. When the water started rising on Saturday, he was watching from there. He says he wasn't worried at first, but by late Saturday evening, the river had swollen drastically.
Went out and came back 3 hours later, and everyone was in the yard watching, and that was kind of, all right, this is getting real.
Juneau's glacial outburst floods have happened every year since 2011. But this year was the worst by far. The Mendenhall River eroded the bank in a matter of hours and undermined some buildings, like these condos on Riverside Drive. It also sent at least one home upstream into the river. The city declared a local emergency on Sunday. It's not yet clear how many homes were destroyed or how many people have been displaced. Fortunately, no one was hurt. But residents like the Loverings say they were caught off guard. When John saw a large cluster of trees upstream come down, he started packing and he called his wife.
I called her and said, what stuff should I grab?
And he's normally like calm, cool, collected John, and he was sounding a little bit panicked, so I knew that things were happening fast. So.
The city issued emergency evacuations to Marion Drive on Saturday evening, but it's not clear how many people left their homes. National Weather Service meteorologist Nicole Farron said that this year's crest of nearly 15 feet was far beyond anything Juneau has seen before.
There's no comparison. We're 2.5 feet over our record.
That record was set in 2016. Just before midnight on Saturday, flood water had started to go down. Power was restored to most neighborhoods shortly after. But residents are left reeling. Bill Ballard lives in a condominium that's further back from the bank. He spent much of his Saturday afternoon watching the rising, debris-filled waters from a deck chair on the river's edge. Panic didn't set in until that house upstream collapsed.
We saw a couple of decks float by. We saw deck chairs and stuff floating by. And then we started seeing structural timber. And then it was like, oh my God, that's from houses upstream.
By Sunday morning, Ballard's deck chair was propping up caution tape on the river's edge. More tape was wrapped around the entrances of the two condemned buildings. Ballard's daughter lived in the same building as the Loverings. As night fell on Saturday, he helped her pack up the essentials.
We just got it out before the fire department put the tape in because you can't get in once they put the tape in. She's going to lose a lot of stuff.
Both the Loverings and Ballard's daughter are staying with family for now. They don't know if or when they'll be able to recover their belongings. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Black seaweed is a culturally significant delicacy in Southeast Alaska. But in recent years, traditional harvesters say it doesn't look right or taste right, and it's difficult to find. Now, a regional native nonprofit hopes a new study can help save the harvest. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports.
Irene Dundas has harvested black seaweed her whole life, near Cake when she was young and near Ketchikan as an adult. The harvest happens in May, when the seaweed is exactly the right size. Dundas and family members travel by boat to specific large rocks far from shore. It must be low tide so they can pull the seaweed off the rocks.
When you're grabbing it in your handful, it looks like you're grabbing a handful of long, thick black hair.
Black seaweed is found in more treacherous areas. It needs nutrients that only come from lots of moving water. Dundas harvests about 50 gallons to share with family and friends. Processing is lengthy, drying the seaweed into bite-sized pieces.
It kind of was crunchy, like a piece of popcorn. But the flavor is like the black seaweed that you put on sushi. It's that exact flavor.
She transfers the wet seaweed in pillowcases and puts it outside on several large tables to dry. But in the years 2021 and 2022, she noticed something was wrong.
The seaweed had a very, very distinct, strong, strong smell. There was a discoloration, this light green color. I felt like it had a little bit more metallic taste to it.
To get any good seaweed this year, she traveled for hours by boat near the Canadian border. Her past harvests, she threw away.
I was alarmed and very, very, very upset. I had no clue what was going on.
This year, I hardly had anything of a harvest.
Keolani Booth collects black seaweed on the outer waters near Metlakatla and southern Prince of Wales Island.
I usually give out quite a bit to our community members that can't go out. And I was only able to get a minute amount, and it was kind of heartbreaking because, you know, some of these people depend on me to bring them some seaweed for the year.
Booth says black seaweed could be like a canary in a coal mine, a warning of what could come from climate change.
It's a very hard seaweed to try to cultivate. It's very sensitive, which, you know, you realize that in the open ocean, it's a precursor to all the things that are stronger in the ocean.
The Metlakatla tribe got a grant to start researching the problem 2 years ago. That research is ongoing, and last month, Dundas and Booth carried their concerns to a meeting in Juneau, hosted by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Harvesters and scientists discussed what to do. Jennifer Clark from Vancouver brought a Western science perspective. She works for a kelp company, but studied the effects of climate change on seaweed for her PhD. In a postdoctoral project, she worked with indigenous groups in central British Columbia about black seaweed disappearing there.
In 2016, it's almost completely missing from the intertidal shoreline.
Clark's research linked the disappearance to an enormous hot water mass in the northern Pacific known as the Blob. In 2014 and 2015, the Blob moved from the Gulf of Alaska down to California. It was followed by more heat from El Nino, which elevated seawater 1 to 2 degrees, enough to destroy the black seaweed.
These heat waves are just kind of unprecedented. They just cause disruptions in life cycles and disturbances in the intertidal, which most of the seaweeds that you find are intertidal, subtidal. So they're getting extreme changes in their habitat.
She learned that black seaweed couldn't survive past 64 degrees. As temperatures cooled in the years after the Blob and El Nino double whammy, BC seaweed started to come back, but not like before. Clark doesn't know if Alaska's black seaweed problem was also affected by the Blob. She says it would take more research. But she does know that black seaweed anywhere has challenges ahead if climate predictions come true.
I think if it was persistent, like if we were to increase 2 degrees, 2050, I think that's a projection is 1.5 degrees, then maybe they won't be so resilient and they'll just kind of exist as much as they can until they're wiped out.
Black seaweed is, you know, really important to us as a food source, but also for its cultural components.
Rosita Worrell is the president of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. She says the seaweed is critical to many communities in and out of Alaska because it's shared and traded.
It's like a glue that binds our community together through our widely sharing patterns. And then the other important thing, it also has spiritual dimensions. Black seaweed is distributed and consumed during our ceremonies.
Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is creating a committee comprised of harvesters and scientists to start studying the problem. They're also documenting the historical practices of the harvest and how it's changed in recent years. They hope the information will help them figure out if there's any way to save black seaweed. Reporting for Coast Alaska, in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And here in Juneau, it's currently 65 degrees and overcast this afternoon. More rain is likely on the way tonight with a low around 56 degrees. Tomorrow, rain is on the forecast with a high of 58, a change from the sunny and hot weather we've had for the past few weeks. Tomorrow night, the low is 55 degrees, and this pattern of rain and cooler temperatures looks like it continues through the week. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org.